It's April 25, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Balser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Pray with me as we open our hearts and minds to God. O Lord, these are days of celebration at CMU as we join students, their families, and friends in graduation activities. We are reminded that all of our life and learning is a gift from you. For each moment of inspiration, for each moment of loving you more, for each moment of insight, we give you thanks. We ask that you will send each graduating student with vision and passion to serve in the world as you have uniquely shaped and called each one. Amen. That was Blessed, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Today we are pleased to have Emeriti Professor John J. Friesen with us as our guest speaker. Thank you, John, for joining us for the month of April in this role.
The theme for today is All Are Invited, and the text is taken from Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. Let us listen to the story. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you have ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and the lanes, and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" An interpretation of the gospel, which we sometimes hear about, is called a prosperity doctrine. It is based on the belief that God blesses with material possessions those he favors, or that believers have a right to wealth and health, or that poverty is a sign of God's disfavor. That gospel does not agree with our text today, nor with many other texts in the New Testament. Jesus' invitation to a life of discipleship turns the usual assumptions in our society upside down. Those things that make for the good life in our society, namely status, wealth, prestige, power, and recognition, are seen as of lesser value. Jesus points to a different way. In Matthew 5, verses 38 to 40, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. Before Jesus was born, his mother Mary sang a song called the Magnificat. The words are, "The Lord has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. The Lord has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty." And then there is a story of the many who gave from their riches. And along came a poor widow who gave her pennies, her mite. And Jesus said, "She gave more than all the rest who thought they gave much." Jesus' invitation to discipleship is an invitation to examine our lives and commitments. How do we respond to the banquet Jesus sets before us? All are invited to follow, but who will hear the invitation and respond? Amen.
That was "He Leadeth Me," sung by Assistant Professor of Music Henriette Schellenberg. This weekend, CMU is celebrating the hard work, the faith, and the growth of 100 graduating students. One of those graduates joins me today as our interview guest. Her name is Kate Landis-Funk.
As we're coming into the conversation today, you were talking about this class that you took last term that kind of captured some of your experience here at CMU. What class was that?
That was Jesus and John.
You talked about a particular paper you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like you really enjoy writing papers.
Well, actually, yeah, kind of. Although, yeah, my colleagues probably wouldn't be very impressed to hear me say that. But anyways, yeah, I wrote a paper on the disciple Thomas in the Gospel of John, and how he's portrayed in that gospel almost negatively as like a doubting Thomas kind of person. And I just found it a really kind of helpful, encouraging essay to write, because I wrote about, well, the story is basically that he refused to believe in Jesus, like the risen Jesus, until he wouldn't believe it until he had seen the nail marks and put his hand into Jesus' side. Kind of a bad thing, I guess, because all the other disciples did believe. But then a week after Jesus rose, after he had already talked to the rest of the disciples, he came back to Thomas specifically and was like, "Hey, Thomas, I'm here. I'm alive. Like, look, you know, put your hand into my side," and that sort of thing. And so I don't think he even needed to put his hand into Jesus' side. Like, it doesn't even say that he did that. He just immediately recognized Jesus as the risen Lord, and he gave the highest Christological confession in the gospel, which I found interesting. Like, he alone was the one that recognized Jesus as Lord and God. I just found it really encouraging because I felt like I was similar to Thomas in that I kind of always like to have scientific proof and like facts for everything. Like I don't like to believe stuff unless I have a really good reason for it to be true. But just the way Jesus treated Thomas, I just was inspired by, because Jesus actually came to Thomas and gave him what he needed to believe. And he turned Thomas's doubting into like this great confession of faith that kind of fits with my whole CMU experience, because the Bible classes and all the classes in general, they kind of, they'll give you a set of facts, but they won't tell you what to believe about it. And so you're kind of forced to like ask questions and make your own conclusions, which can be scary because you all of a sudden start questioning everything about, you know, what you believe. Like, why actually do I believe what I believe? And so then you doubt and you question yourself for a while. But I learned kind of through this story that this doubting is a good thing. And like you come through stronger with a stronger faith.
You would know this better than some about this Christological confession that Thomas makes. Say a little bit more about that.
Jesus comes to him and he says, "My Lord and my God." Whereas like other people in the gospel have kind of acknowledged Jesus, "Oh, you are the Lord," or like, "Oh, you are the Son of God, you are the Son of Man." But Thomas says, "You are my Lord and my God," making it personal for him, like he is Thomas's Lord and God. And as God, not just the Son of God, but like as one with God, which is kind of what the whole gospel is trying to prove anyways, that Jesus is God. Like that's kind of the whole argument of the book. And it's just very fitting that it comes right at the end.
But through a rather curious character, right?
Mm-hmm,
the one
exactly.
who's most in question of his faith, in a sense.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, yeah, it fits with the whole, like, irony of Christianity anyways, because in other Gospels, Jesus always says, like, the first will be last and the last will be first. And so, you know, he picks, like, the most random, like, unexpected people to have these great revelations about him.
If you were to give a incoming student some words of advice or wisdom, what would you say to them in terms of making the most of their time at CMU?
I would say be prepared to work hard, but it will be very rewarding. Like, I feel like in my first couple of years, I didn't really understand the value of the education I was getting, but now that I'm on the point of leaving, I realize, like, what a huge gift it is to be able to study with these profs who are so excited about their material and they are so like well-versed in it. And not everybody has this chance to study stuff, and especially the Bible classes that you really care about. So I would just say be prepared to work hard, and you definitely will be rewarded.
Thanks so much, Kate, for coming in, and it's been a real privilege to hear some of your story.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. Join us today at 2:30 p.m. for the CMU Convocation Service held at Emmanuel Pentecostal Church. 100 students are graduating and you are warmly invited to join us in this celebration. Then on June 15, it's the 9th annual CMU President's Golf Classic. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at 3ws.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website, and I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2. Or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.